Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I am one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and here's always my co-host and friend,
Graham K. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another hot episode, Autastic.
Where are you at?
I'm proud to say I am. Oh, where am I at? I'm about to tell you, buddy. I am in sunny, gloomy Seattle, everybody. You know what a hot spot is? A hot destination spot. Is Seattle in February. That's what people always say. You know, Seattle in February is for honeymooners. It's pretty, I'm here to record, I'm doing a comedy club, a really good comedy club, called this, the Underground, Seattle Underground Comedy.
I've done that one. I love that club.
Yeah, great club. And this is my third weekend of work in a row. I'm on the road for 3 weeks. And I had two other clubs before this, and I was going to record my album, and I was like, no, I'll wait to Seattle Underground.
Well, because you get polished as the weeks go on. You get more and more.
You get polished as the week goes on. And it's a really good room. Yep. It's got low ceilings, yep, which is good for comedy. They see that, you know, it's just, and they've been selling out a lot, and I got a couple fans who are going to come, a bunch of the Autastics, you guys out there, are going to come, and then they're going to have a... Where are you?
I'm in Bahamas.
On a highway in LA?
Guys, if we didn't have bad luck, we'd have no luck at all.
Kirk has been evicted from his apartment. He's living under a bridge in LA somewhere. Still got the equipment, so we're still going to pump it out, guys. Don't worry.
I'm in the Bahamas, which is cartoonishly Bahamian. It's
just tranquil.
Just people driving around yelling at each other, where'd you get your license, man? It's
I like how you're like, hey man, you're like, I don't know why you were doing the accent there, but you're like, hey guys, I gotta record a podcast in your country known for its tranquility. Where's your one and only Times Square? I'd like to record there. Or maybe is there like a fire station right beside a matchbox factory that I could record to.
We're burying the lead, though. So were you able to record, or what's going on in Seattle?
Oh, yeah. So basically, I'm supposed to record my album on Saturday. Today, we are recording on a Friday morning. And it is in about 45 minutes' time, they're supposed to have a 48-hour, once-in-a-five-year snowstorm. It is all hills, folks, here. No one has snow tires. They don't have any snow plows. The city doesn't own a snow plow. And no one knows how to drive in the snow here. Everyone just all gas. So there's just basically the recording is canceled. So that's, you know.
You could have recorded it the last
have to wait another day.
2 weeks, and you didn't record it the last 2 weeks. And
I could have recorded the last
brutal.
2 weeks. I had great sets in Calgary, especially.
It's a great club. And the casino, the Elbow Bend Casino, is that right? Am I thinking of the right place?
Yeah. Elbow River.
Elbow River Casino, sorry. Yeah, I'm recording on a highway, the biggest one in Nassau. The only one in Nassau.
Yeah, so my album, my comedy album recording is canceled. But this podcast recording is not canceled. We record no matter how awful the sound is, as you guys can attest to. Kirk is, where are you right now? You're in the Nassau, Bahamas. That's the capital of the Bahamas.
Yep.
And you're on a cruise ship, and I assume, and you got a day. You got a day on port.
That's it. Trying to make good use of my time. We're here for what, 6 hours, and I'm recording, guys. That's what this podcast means to me. I put my Speedo back on and sat down at a coffee shop, and I'm recording.
Yes, you went. So you, this the folks, this is the dire straits that Kirk's career is in. Is it he? I'm deducing from what he's telling me, folks, is that he did not buy the internet package because he's so cheap.
I did. I used it all, and now I got to buy it again. Oh man.
Oh, so he had to go to a Starbucks.
Yeah, I'm at a Starbucks
in town. Okay, and use the Wi-Fi there for this pod.
That's what I'm doing.
I see. Well, that's how dedicated you are, Kirk. That's how cheap and dedicated.
Well, you're
you
not
are.
Wrong. That's you're good. Not wrong.
No, I know you. I know you. Folks, listen back to the other episodes where I'm on a boat and he's on land. And you know what? I'm in a quiet room because I paid for the internet. But that's
You're not wrong. Graham pays for his booze and his internet. He takes both of them very seriously.
I certainly do. You'll get no arguments from me. Speaking of booze, I know we haven't talked about autism yet. By the way, quickly, this is the Comedian's Guide to Autism.
That's a good point.
Yes. I have a brother who has autism, and Kirk has an autism. A son who's autistic.
Son? Is that what you're going to say?
An autism son. Oh,
send the letters to Graham K.
Yeah. I corrected myself. But anyway, more importantly, I got drunk last night.
That sounds about right.
And yeah, well, I went to on the road.
Fair enough.
Another comedian that we both look up to is in town.
He's my favorite.
Doing a theater. Yeah, one of my favorites for sure.
For clean, he's the best. I mean, Bargatze is also great. There's
no
a couple
question.
Great guys, but he's for clean. He's man.
Yeah, His name is Brian Regan, and if you don't know who Brian Regan is, an absolutely powerhouse of a comedian, and sells out theaters all over the country, and he was on his recent tour.
Sweetheart of a guy,
and,
too.
Sweetheart of a man, and he's on his recent tour, and he doesn't want to hang out with fans and stuff after his show, just because it's just weird to every night hang out with people that...
Well, full disclosure, sometimes people try to prove that they're funny, and so they'll tell you some crazy racist joke, or they'll tell you some sort of on these cruises, whenever somebody's like, I have a joke for you, I open with, please don't say the word retarded or the N-word. All right, continue. What do you got?
Yes.
I honestly do say that, because it puts you in a weird position when they do those things.
100%. And then other people are walking by, and they don't get the context, and you're doing them... like maybe a polite laugh,
yeah.
So this guy will leave, and they just walk by and hear you laugh.
You're laughing at the N-word, perfect.
And you're like, that guy's scum. No, I have a podcast about autism. Sure you do.
Everybody says that.
Get with it, pal. Everybody says that. Yeah. But anyway, so he's in town. He's doing part of his theater tour, and he has one of my buddies, Steve Rogers, really funny guy. Just did the Colbert Show as well, and Steve Rogers is opening for him. And was like, he was like, "Is there any comedians in town we can hang out with?" So strangers don't tell me horrible racist street jokes. and he's like, these guys are, Graham, my buddy Graham's headlining the Underground Comedy Club. So they drove their he's got a tour bus.
Perfect.
And they drove the tour bus.
To your Uber pool?
Yeah. No, I walked.
You walked. I love it. I walked. I love it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
To a bar, some dumb bar, and there was maybe six comedians, and he paid for everyone's stuff all night. He wouldn't let anyone pay. Great guy.
Yeah,
sweetheart of a man.
Yeah.
An extremely funny comic, probably the best clean comedian. Definitely look him up, guys.
He was a guy that I remember 15 years ago.
Brian Regan.
Would do, he wasn't famous yet, and he would do the first show. It'd be pretty full, and then he'd go, how's the second show? And they'd be like, half sold out. And they would tell the owner and the MC, like, listen, tell them if they want to stick around for the second show, I'll do a different hour. Well, that's great for you, but the middle's screwed. He had so much material. He could just, at the drop of a hat, do a different hour. And that's hard to do, people, if you don't know that.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
The rest of us, that's a hard thing to do.
That's like going on a book tour and then being like, well, if you want to stay, I'll just do my other book.
The second
my
book.
Other novel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and the guy who's opening for you has to do 30 clean. Yeah, he's doing the same 30.
Yeah. You know, I can do, I probably have 40 minutes of clean material, maybe.
But your second, at least for me, my second half's not as good as my first half, that's for sure.
For sure. There's no way I could do 2 30s of clean, and I've been doing comedy 11 years.
Yeah, and he's doing 2 different hours. What an amazing guy, amazing comic.
Yeah.
Prolific.
I wish I could write that way. I wish I could be 100% clean. It's so much harder.
Well, the thing is, too, he's legitimately funny. It's not like he's funny for clean. He's just funny. Like, you might not think he's 100%. The best guy ever, but he's for sure funny. Like, even, you know, the dirtiest guys are like, yeah, he's funny. He's not. Nobody's denying that he's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. We know why he's funny is because he's not. He's not clean because he's trying to be
exactly.
clean. He's clean because his brain.
That's how he thinks.
Is silly, not rude.
Exactly.
So he's not pulling any punches. He's swinging for the fences.
Yeah. That's a good way of saying it, Graham.
Yeah. Yeah, you like boxing. I figure you'd understand.
Swing for the fences is baseball, but fair enough.
Pulling any punches.
Pulling punches is boxing, you're right. Swing for the fences is baseball, you're right. Pulling punches, that's true.
I did a bunch. Anyway, I also have a sports podcast called The Friends in Sports, if you want to listen.
Ooh,
that's true.
That's, check him out. Yeah. Him and Alex Pavone, very funny comic who gesticulates a lot and goes off mic a lot. I remember that about him, yeah.
Yes. But we talk about, we interview comics, and they tell funny sports stories. And maybe we'll have you on, Kirk. Maybe we'll do a... what do they call that?
Crossover episode? Ooh.
Crossover episode. Thank
love
you.
It.
Yes. Anyway, let's talk about autism. I'm hungover. That's when I like to wake up. I like to wake up out of a dead sleep and talk about autism. Kirk, I had a phone call with my brother today, Peter, who is, 33 now. And so my parents go away on vacation. They're old. And they don't want to do Canadian winters anymore. So they usually go for all of February. They go to South Carolina, which is pretty awesome.
Fair enough.
And my brother would have to spend a full month and a half at their house taking care of the dog. And, you know, and he hates, he's so proud of his apartment. You know, he, as you guys know, and it's the number one thing he's proud of in his life is that he can live alone. And he's always worried in the back of his mind that we're trying to trick him and drag him back into mom and dad's house. And so he kind of is always suspicious, and he hates staying for a month and a half to take care of the dog. And I was like, oh, so we're talking on the phone, and my parents are in North Carolina or in South Carolina. And it's like, oh, so you're staying at your apartment this time because Strider died. And he goes, yeah. Good riddance. I was like, don't say that. He was a great dog. He's like, I know, but Graham, I just hate taking care of him when mom and dad
That's
are
funny.
Gone. Good riddance to the family dog. So I'm on like the Seattle subway, the Seattle monorail, whatever it is, and I'm it's crowded, and I'm talking to my brother. Just yelling no one knows who I'm talking to. They don't know I'm talking to a man who has autism on the other end. And I'm like, don't say good riddance because the dog is dead. Don't.
Oh,
he was a good boy.
I love it. Oh, man.
Yeah, so that's my one and only anecdote. My brother's doing pretty
that's
well.
Good.
He's got one fish left, swimming in a murky sea.
His autobiography is going to be the man who killed the fish.
He killed so many fish. It's just a real Sophie's choice at the fish store.
Great reference.
They know him by name. They know him by name. Peter comes in and he's like,
Peter, aka
fish, please.
The fish murderer.
Yes, and I'm going to take these fish to fish Auschwitz. And
yikes.
They're all like, oh God. And then they got to choose which fish are going to die.
That's a Sophie's choice.
And then they do. Yeah. But this one guy is really tough. This one fish, he's been hanging on, man. He thrives on pain and no oxygen. He's still around. He's getting big too. So we'll see.
Well, that's great. That's great. JJ, my reviews, JJ's going good. We got he's back in his walks, so he's down 3 kilos, 3 kilos, which is like...
How many pounds is in
five
a kilo?
5 pounds.
I don't need...
Kilos is
2.2. Wow, 15 pounds?
No. 3 kilos is like 5 pounds. Each kilo is 2.2 pounds, yeah.
Okay. I'm Canadian, I should know that.
Yeah. Shouldn't you be telling me this?
I certainly should. It just American sports screwed me up.
Right, pounds, yeah.
You know, it's like 6'4", 210.
Right.
You know, and then that's what's on TV. And you kind of, I know Celsius, centigrade. It's hard for me to understand Fahrenheit. But height and weight, like I'm 2.1 meters. I'm like, I don't know, man.
It's a big boy, 2.1.
You Michael Jordan or not?
But he's doing good. He's been sporting the what's the guy who's the new special called Michael Yo. He's sporting Michael Yo's Panda t-shirt. I brought that for him last time I saw him. And
I don't know Michael Yo.
He's on Entertainment Tonight. He started doing comedy. Anyway, he's got merch that my son likes. It's a panda t-shirt.
Cool.
And that's his new favorite thing he's wearing. He got approved for one more year of school, which we've been really worried about. I don't know if you guys remember this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's exciting.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's only supposed to go until he's 21, but we got approved for one more year, which that means they think he's making progress, and so we've really been pushing to try to get that one extra year, just to give him a little chance, you know, just one more chance. So,
Kirk, that's huge.
That's a big deal.
So how he's 20 now, right?
Yeah, he's 20 years old. Yep, yep.
So he's good till he's 22.
Yeah.
What you're saying.
Yeah. So that's exciting.
And he has, I would say, we've been doing this podcast, 3 years?
Yeah.
And I would say in the past year, JJ, your son, who is nonverbal, has had the greatest gains in this past year.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. You know, he's starting to do the typing thing, which is a big deal. So that's, you know, that's the biggest. So, yeah, that's going to be, you know, life-changing, life-affirming or whatever, yeah.
The power of people, you know, just being surrounded by people who care and nurses all day. And
yeah.
You know, he's just absorbing stuff. He's typing stuff, dude. That's amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
It's so incredible. And then you get a full extra year of that.
So hopefully hopefully we can do one more year of just a big push and then start to work the transition to his job. So.
Right. Yeah. And is he going to stay in Sweden, or is that a question for another day?
Yeah, it's a question for another day. I'm still working on that. Trying to figure out what to do. It depends if I'm doing trips to the Bahamas on cruises. Yeah, so, or if I'm got a little more flexibility. And, yeah.
Yeah, well, all in all, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So
yeah, I think so.
Worry about that when you got to worry about that. But the good news is that no matter what happens, he'll have another. If he stays in Sweden or comes to California or wherever you decide to live, he'll have another year under his belt of education and be that much stronger for it. That is 100%,
right.
Which is great.
Right. Yeah, education's key, right, for communication. So if we can get the communication down, mm-hmm. that's our big. That's our big push. So,
we said this before, pardon me, on the podcast that the never stop pushing. The human brain, whether it's someone who has autism or two idiots like us, it can never stop growing and learning. You know, I remember when I was 10 years old and I would watch. My brother was about seven and my mom would watch. I remember I was walking with my mom and my brother was playing off in the, you know, walking ahead of us and talking to himself and stemming and whatever, and she started to cry. She's like, you know, he might have been 10 years old or whatever, and she was like, this is as good as he's gonna get,
right?
You know, and he's gotten better. You wouldn't think even at the age of 20 your son is getting better.
Right. Yeah, I agree. It's hard to that's one of the big things, right? Trying to know the difference between what is what parts he can't change and which parts he can't, and not, you know, knowing the difference so you don't give up on the stuff that is changeable. So
sure. You take the small victories as big ones, because
yeah.
They're big to you.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't lose sight of that. They're big to you. They might not be big to somebody else, but the fact that your son is typing is like,
yep.
To me, it's like a monumental shift.
Yeah, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, the typing's not the same as talking, but sometimes you have to focus. Sometimes you have to focus on what it means to the person, not what society around you thinks about it, which kind of leads into our in the news article from the New York Times.
Yes, it does.
Should we do the news?
Let's do it.
This is, it's interesting. I'd be curious to hear your guys' take on this. It's in the New York Times, which is a, you know, a very reputable source. I can stop the symptoms of my autism, but should I? Our advice?
Yeah, what an interesting, I love the title. I can control the symptoms of my autism, but should I?
Right.
You know.
Our advice columnist. Go ahead, sorry, buddy.
Well, it just seems, it's like a human rights question, I guess. It's just interesting. Do you have to change who you are for the benefit of others, for society? Or should they just accept you for being different? And just understand that there are people in this world who have autism who are going to be louder in the checkout aisle of the grocery store, and you just have to accept that because people are different. I sure, you know what, people can the society can change and understand. You know, I changed and I understood. I remember being a little kid and being super embarrassed about my brother and hating him for making everyone stare at us at the grocery store checkout line. And then you just accept it and then it's fine and it doesn't matter. And I think society is going through right now, as autism gets more and more out there and people are more and more aware, and so we've certainly made big leaps as a society, especially in North America, in the past couple years with awareness. But I think society is going through what I went through when I was 10 years old in that checkout aisle right now. They're coming to terms with
it. Yeah, I think so.
Let me
read the article. Or you want to read it? Let's read the article first, though.
No, you read it. You go for it.
I know. Well, then I think you're on to something, though. Okay, our advice columnist answers a letter from a teenager wrestling with what is socially appropriate. I was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome when I was 8. Now I'm a teenager, and that isn't a diagnosis anymore. I have autism spectrum disorder now. I'm considered high-functioning, quote-unquote. But when I'm happy or upset, I sometimes rock my body or flap my hands. My mom says I shouldn't do this in public because it's socially inappropriate and maybe distracting to others. But I think it's okay. I'm not hurting anyone. And even though I can control the rocking and flapping now, I don't think I should have to. What do you think? And the answer is, my hunch is that one of your mom's concerns here may be that people will be cruel to you or that you'll get fewer opportunities in life because of these mannerisms. My own mom expressed similar worries when I was growing up and discovering myself. Yours may not want others to think of you as different or treat you badly because of your gestures. But I'm no expert in autism, so do me a favor and consult with one, either alone or with your mother. Talk with the expert about the best ways to manage your symptoms and also to help you distinguish and which ones may be worth managing to help you fit in better with others. Not that expressing yourself authentically isn't important too. The biggest threat here, as I see it, is that you end up feeling a kind of self-hatred for your mannerisms that others find off-putting. That would be a terrible result. If you've learned anything from trying to be more inclusionary, it's that a whole host of behaviors, sexualities, gender identities, and more that were once thought of as abhorrent are simply not, and it's the job of others to accept us, and it's not our job to worry about making it easier for them. What do you think, bud? I guess you told me what you thought before, yeah, but... Now, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I totally understand that, and but my, you know, that's my my mother is always trying to get my brother to stop stemming and flapping his arms and stuff on the bus, and we know that he's not hurting anybody. It's just my mother is worried that some bag of crap is going to see him do that, and then get off the bus with him and know he's weak and.
Right.
Rob him.
Right. See, that's a legitimate concern, I feel like. See, yeah, because I come across from it from the parent point of view, too. Like, yeah, for me, I feel like my concern as a parent would be that people judge you. And when you're looking for employment, it's almost like you're saying, well, they should be accepted. And I agree. But to argue that life's not fair, it's like, yeah, life's clearly not fair. So if there's little things that you can control.
And you know that more than anyone.
Especially...
<Kidding.
laughs> Well, you're not wrong. But if there's things that you can control, as another bus goes by when I'm trying to talk.
Life's not fair.
But if there's things you can control, and you have it in the ability, you know, especially surrounding work related things, then yeah, why not to take those little steps that would allow you to work, allow you to function.
Yeah, so, exactly. And it's harder for you, and it sucks. And I'm sorry it's harder for you, this young person who wrote in. You know, it's certainly not fair, and I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like to
I agree with that, too. I don't know either.
To flap my arms and not be able to stop myself, and I understand that. But I don't know. If you can stop, I mean, I don't know, or just maybe learn Kung Fu.
So now you're just Napoleon Dynamiting everywhere you go in the streets?
Well, no, just if someone attacks you, you can, like, karate chop them in the head.
Oh, that's a good idea. I thought you were saying instead of flap, turn those flaps into karate chops.
Well, hey, that'd be a way to do it. Just sort of channel it into Tai Chi or something.
Ooh, now we're in business. Now we're in business.
I wonder if that would work, just as a therapy. Like Tai Chi.
Channel into something, maybe.
Stabbing, I don't know. I wonder if my brother would like that. Yeah, he needs another activity. Still no word on the bowling or anything. His shoulder's still all messed up.
I think he might like Tai Chi. It's like slow motion karate. He might get down. I think it's incredibly boring, yeah. but yeah.
I think I will do Tai Chi at one point in my life.
I always used to make fun of yoga, and now I'm doing it, so there you go.
Do you like it?
So I need it for my back and my hips. Yeah. I sound like such an old person. Yeah, it's great, though.
No question that older Asian people are way more mobile than older white people. If you go to Chinatown and you just look at, they're moving. They're quick. Yeah, they're doing because
they're
stretching.
Moving fine.
And
yeah.
They're doing Tai Chi and they're keeping the machine going.
Limber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I worry about my parents. I'm like, you guys, they're 70. They're in good shape. You know what they do? You know what they're doing? This. Going down south and playing golf every day is really good. They always come back in great shape, and I'm happy with that. But it's not the same. Stretching is important, I think. And
yeah, I'm reading this book David Goggins wrote called "You Can't Hurt Me." That's the guy who did those ultra marathoners things, and he set the record for the most pull-ups. And he's talking about doing several hours of stretching every day.
Well,
I thought that was interesting.
I'm sure it's good to do several hours of stretching, but then it's like. You know, maybe your life is shorter because maybe you die earlier.
You did several hours of stretching,
because you're not stretching. But at least you're living those those years.
Those extra 2 hours
a day.
Yeah,
adds up.
I agree, but I guess what I was getting at is that his emphasis on stretching at all. When I think about his emphasis, might be on running or the actual pull-ups. It's like, no, you need to do the stretching. I'm like, all right, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I did think it was funny. He was like running these 100-mile races, and he's like, you can't hurt me. There's nothing I can, no pain I can't endure. I can run through the Death Valley for 100 miles. And the next chapter's like, I'm getting a divorce. We just couldn't work it out. I'm like, wait a minute. So just to be clear, 100 miles running through Death Valley, easy money. 10-minute argument with your wife in the kitchen. I'm out.
Well, it sounds like this individual needs to find a balance. You know, you got to talk to your wife and buy her flowers. You know,
who's tougher?
Time doing that.
Graham K's parents are still together after 40 years, or you doing your pull-ups? I don't know.
It's true. My parents are together 41 years.
It's pretty
They're
tough.
Well.
It takes a real level of commitment.
I make fun of them in my act for arguing with each other a lot, but in reality, I'm very proud of them and impressed. But don't tell them.
Don't worry. They don't listen
to
this podcast.
Don't. They don't. I think they listen to like the first two episodes, and they're like,
they listen to the ones they're on.
Okay, listen, guys. Our podcast is like 25 to 35 minutes. It's the shortest little podcast in the world. Most podcasts are an hour minimum, maybe 2 hours. And my dad listens to a podcast, but like it was like a 28-minute, 31-minute podcast, and he was like, "It's awfully long. Just talk and talk." All right, Dad.
Joe Rogan does 3 hours at a time. Ours is 30 minutes. Yep. It's funny.
Yep.
All right, where are you at this week, buddy?
I'm in underground Seattle, and then when is this going to come out, you think? this episode.
Not today. So it'll be after your Seattle's done. So what's the next week? It'll be out hopefully.
Well, I'm just going to be
hopefully
in
on
Los
Monday.
Los Angeles, folks. Los Angeles, California. I'll be there for 2.5 weeks. Basically,
I've heard of that place.
Second half of February. So come on down. Go to comedybythegram.com. Could have a new website soon. That's exciting.
Ooh, fancy pants.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'll be doing shows all over the town. And then I'll be back in New York to collapse and sleep for days because I will have been on the road for 5 weeks at that time. But anyway, I'm going to spend all day in my hotel room. I'm very excited about that.
Ooh, sounds fancy.
Yeah, it's a
living
nice hotel.
The snow dream.
Got a nice hotel this week. Very nice.
Well, that's great.
If you need a nice hotel, go to the Renaissance in Seattle. It's good.
I'm going to be in Ecuador this week. If you are interested in helping us build a house, we're going to try to find
a... Oh, you're doing that again.
We've got a short list of needy kids with disabilities and try to build somebody a house. If you're interested, hit me up. Yeah, it should be great. I'm excited. It's Tuesday. I'm a little stressed because I'm going straight from the road to Ecuador to straight back on the road. So we'll see how that goes. But
well, make sure that you get a good night's rest before your travel days. Wash your hands and have a bunch of vitamin C.
I like it. I think that's good
advice.
That
is good advice.
I've
changed my ways. I've started doing that, and it has helped me a lot. If you have a really busy schedule.
Who are you?
Pardon me?
Yeah, I don't even know you anymore. I feel like I don't even know you anymore.
I've been on the road for 2.5 weeks, and last night was the second time I drank in 2.5 weeks.
Wow. Guys, I think it's a midlife crisis number 3 for
I'm
Grant.
Maturing.
I think this one's the one that's turning it around. Yeah, this one's turning it around. send us your... I'm just teasing you, buddy. Send us your messages, as always. We need to get to listener mail. We'll do that next week. Your questions, your stuff about... we had some questions about meds and advice about meds. And, we love hearing from you guys. Add us on Facebook, Instagram, Kirk Smith Comedy. What's your Instagram, Graham?
Instagram K, everybody. At Instagram K. And also Mr. Graham K if you still use Twitter. And find me on Facebook if you're a Facebook person. I still got room for friends, so be a friend. You can follow my fan page, or you can follow my or you can just be an old-fashioned friend on my other page. I got 2 pages. I don't really put anything on the fan page.
I know, I gotta start doing that too. Oh man. Okay, sorry. We'll take that off air. All right,
guys. Keep it on. It's hilarious. It's where we're at, buddy.
I think I've got 100 spots left, and I gotta figure out how to either trim that down or really ramp up the fan page. Yeah.
Yeah. But guys, thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening. Have a great week. You can do it.